I'd like to take a moment and have a real heart-to-heart with you. If you're able right now, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? That's your heartbeat telling you that you're alive. It's the same for a preborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception, and at just 3 weeks, it's already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. And that's why we've partnered with Preborn, because we need to help these precious babies. Every day, Preborn's networks of clinics rescue 200 babies from abortion. When a mother with an unplanned pregnancy meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine encounter. That doubles a baby's chances at life. And by 6 weeks, the eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her own thumb. And for just $28, you could be the difference between life or death of a child. All gifts are tax deductible, and I want you to donate. All you have to do is just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, keyword baby. You can also donate securely at preborn.com/verdict. That's preborn.com/verdict or #250 and say the keyword baby. Are you being influenced? If you've watched a blockbuster film in the last decade, there's a chance it's been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP may be running the largest influence campaign in history. In Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epic Times, investigative reporter Tiffany Meyer reveals how the CCP exerts control over some major studios. Don't miss the most important documentary about Hollywood yet. And for a limited time, you can watch the first 10 minutes for free at HollywoodTakeover.com/Ben. HollywoodTakeover.com/Ben. Welcome. It's Verdict with Ted Cruz. Ben Ferguson with you. Senator, nice to chat with you today. You're on the road. You're now in Florida. We had maybe one of the greatest dinners I think I've ever had last night with some of the most brilliant minds around the table in Nashville after the event in Franklin. And it was, I think you probably enjoyed that dinner as much as I did, because you had Clay Travis, Michael Knows, Ben Shapiro. I was an honor to be there. You were there and many other brilliant minds talking about some of the most fun topics in politics, and they were all revolving around what we're all seeing change very quickly, and that is there's a very good chance that not only are we going to grab the House, but we could grab the Senate and have some really good numbers there as well.
Yeah, that's right. We had an amazing dinner that went until late in the evening, and I would say the consensus of pretty much everyone around the table is that the momentum is moving significantly in the right direction. And I'm more optimistic. I think more and more observers are getting really optimistic that Republicans' chances for taking the Senate look quite good, and we could easily end up with not just a majority in the House, but a large majority in the House. And that's good news.
One of the reasons why I think this is happening, Senator, is that I think a lot of the American people, especially while they're suffering, are tired of being lied to. The president came out today with another ridiculous lie. Here's what he said.
Today, the most common price of gas in America is $3.39. Down from over $5 when I took office. We need to keep making that progress by having energy companies bring down the cost of a gallon of gas that reflects the cost they're paying for a barrel of oil.
Senator, you and I both know that when he became president of the United States of America, the average price of gas was $2.39, meaning 50% were paying less than that. On the day that he became president, I paid under $2 a gallon where I was. And because I remember looking, wanting to see how quick it was going to go up, this is just a lie that every American knows is not true.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. It is a blatant lie. It's obvious. And it has to be deliberate. Look, even in Joe Biden's severely diminished state, he knows he's lying. Gas was not $5 a gallon when he became president. It was $2.39 a gallon. This is also an interesting test for every single fake news corporate media outlet that pretends to do fact-checking. If all of them do not immediately fact-check this and call it out as it's not kind of a little bit a lie, it's not slightly a lie, He suggested, he didn't suggest, he said that gas was more than twice as much as it was when he came in. And he did that because he wants to erase the massive increase in gas prices that has happened because of his policies. And what I'm curious, you know, watching him give that speech, you know, I really do stagger to think that that was actually written into his remarks, but it might have been.
I think there's a very good chance. It was so concise and coherent. You got to think it was up on the teleprompter.
He usually, when he ad-libs, is more incoherent than that. That was remarkably coherent. It was just a flat-out lie.
You talk about fact-checking, and I laugh because you just mentioned, how does this not get fact-checked? Something so blatant that he, and again, his exact quote, the most common price of gas in America is $3.39, down from over $5 when I took office. There's not a fact-checker in the world that could not figure out that was wrong. You just go back and look at the average gas price on the day he was inaugurated, and it's very clear that it wasn't over $5 a gallon. Yet, Senator, you went on The View, and you challenged Whoopi Goldberg and others when they acted like Republicans are the ones who are trying to destroy America and domestic terrorists, and everybody that is a conservative is the equivalent of a domestic terrorist or Al-Qaeda or ISIS with January 6th. And you basically brought up the point that Antifa had burnt U.S. cities for a year. And Newsweek has now come out fact-checking you, saying that your claim that Antifa burnt U.S. cities for a year is a flat-out false, which, again, if you live in America, you know that Antifa was going around and attacking police officers and burning down churches and buildings and businesses.
Well, I will say this quote-unquote fact-check is self-parodying, and Twitter and the Internet has roasted Newsweek pretty mercilessly for it. Look, on The View, which we talked about before, was amazing fun going on with hosts who every day spread partisan propaganda. Whoopi claimed that it's only your party that engages in violence. Our party doesn't do that. And you look, I had to laugh. I said, did you miss an entire year of Antifa riots with cities burning all over the country? So here was Newsweek's fact check. What they said is, well, yes, there were riots, and yes, there were cities that burned, but many of the riots didn't last the entire year, although they then say, well, many of them did, but not all of them. Not all of the riots lasted the entire year, and not all of the riots burned the cities. Sometimes they burned the cities, sometimes they didn't burn the cities. And then they said, and by the way, Antifa doesn't exist. That's their end of their fact check, is they didn't all last more than a year. Not every one of them burned the cities, and there's no such thing as Antifa. And every word of that fact check is a lie. It is a deliberate lie. Yes, they did. And it was reminiscent, you know, you and I both remember when CNN had a reporter standing in front of a building that is raging with fire. And the chyron underneath the reporter says, fiery, but mostly peaceful protests.
Yeah.
You know, come and burn everything down around you, but it's mostly peaceful while they're burning it down. Like, that's what this Newsweek fact check was about, and it's not complicated.
Well, and
the Newsweek
I think,
fact checker is a partisan warrior.
Well,
and that's
I
what
think,
they do.
And I think they just want the headline, right? Oh, well, no. Ted Cruz lied on The View. I saw a fact check about that. No one reads down. No one goes back and looks at it. It's just it's a way, I think, for the left to say, no, Ted Cruz lied. I know he did because a fact checker told me he did. And I saw the headline where they claimed that he lied. So therefore, he's a liar.
That is exactly the game. I think the quote unquote fact checkers are today's version of yellow journalism. They deliberately lie, and they have all sorts of tricks they play. One of the tricks is the editorial selection, what it is they choose to fact check. It's why I said this Joe Biden statement. I don't know if they'll check it or not, but every one of them should. It is a direct falsehood by the president of the United States on the number one issue in the polls nationally for an election less than 2 weeks away. We'll see if they actually choose to fact check it. So What they choose to fact check is one of the ways they skew it, but they believe that left-wing opinion is a fact. And the irony, we've had some fun with them online. Newsweek has actually written multiple stories in the past about Antifa. So their final kind of killer reason why what I said wasn't true is they say Antifa doesn't exist. And I responded with multiple Newsweek stories about Antifa, Antifa cells, plotting violence, meeting, and like from their own pages. But truth doesn't matter because they're not even editorialists. They are liars. It's what they do. And they try to package it up as claiming it's some sort of fact.
Senator, one thing that I know that you've really focused on, especially if Republicans get back control of the Senate, is reining in big tech. And we had some big news that happened. Not only did Elon Musk buy Twitter, but Elon Musk is starting to fire people at Twitter. The partisan hacks are there trying to bring back genuine and authentic free speech. I want to talk about that in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you about our good friends over at Patriot Mobile. And if you are a American that loves free speech, loves the Second Amendment, loves to protect the lives of the unborn, you can actually now do it with every single phone call. If you're with Patriot Mobile, they take a portion of your bill every month. They give it back to conservative causes that fight for our values. It is incredible the work that they're doing. And they save you money on your cell phone. That's right. They use the same towers that you're using right now. But with every phone call you make, you are standing up for the sanctity of life, the freedom of speech, the Second Amendment. And this is what they've been doing for years. So if you're ready to make a switch and you want to stand with a company that stands with your values, check out Patriot Mobile. They have affordable plans for you, your family, and even your businesses. Go online, patriotmobile.com/verdict. That's patriotmobile.com/verdict. You'll get free activation with the offer code VERDICT. You can call them 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Use the promo code VERDICT. Senator, the Elon Musk has come in and fired four top executives at Twitter, including the CEO, the same CEO that brought in the fact checking and the silencing and the closing down of accounts like the president of the United States of America at the time, Donald Trump, many other conservatives. He has now come in and said, "I'm done with you guys. You're all fired." He didn't waste any time firing the company's top executives. I think this is a huge step for freedom of speech with big tech.
So, Ben, without exaggeration, I think this is the single most important development for free speech in decades. As you know, as we've talked about for a long time, I think big tech is the biggest threat to free speech. Big tech is also the biggest threat to free and fair elections. And big tech, every year, has been getting more and more brazen, more and more open about using their monopoly power to try to silence conservatives, to try to silence views they don't like, to try to silence even some modicum of sanity, to try to silence someone saying there is such a thing as boys and girls. That's a view that they have decided is hateful to their woke sensibilities, and so you're not allowed to say it. And as you noted, they've gone so far as to ban the president of the United States, Donald Trump, from using their platform and speaking because they've determined they don't like what he has to say. They also ban all sorts of conservatives, places like the Babylon Bee, which I think does some of the best humor and satire. And when Elon Musk walked into the headquarters, so the video he put out, it's actually quite bizarre. He walks in the front door of the Twitter headquarters carrying a porcelain sink. And I'll say, number one, the way he's walking, I don't know if you've seen the gif of Conor McGregor like strutting down the hallway. I got to say, Elon had a strut very much like that, but he's carrying a big, heavy porcelain sink. And I was like, you look at the image, you're kind of scratching your head like he's going to throw the sink at him. Like, what is that? And I guess what he tweeted out is you know, that he was there. He said, "Let that sink in." So it was kind of a giant pun, which was a little odd. But then he shows up and fires the CEO and fires the CFO and fires the chief legal and policy officer and fires the chief operating officer, all within minutes of walking in the door. That is so incredibly important. And listen, I am. Elon has stated that he wants Twitter to be a town hall for democracy, where people can express their views, and if their views are wrong, other people can disagree, and you can actually have free speech, and the remedy for bad speech is more speech, not censorship. I assume it is going to take some time to turn the ship of Twitter, but I got to say, firing the top executives certainly gets the attention of every employee at that company, and I hope sends a real signal that Twitter is out of the business of censorship. He's obviously going to have to bring in new people who are committed to making Twitter an oasis of free speech. And that, I'm really hopeful that happens. I'm glad that it happened before Election Day. I think that we've seen big tech is particularly egregious when elections are approaching. Both Twitter and Facebook were shameless in censoring and silencing the Hunter Biden story, which was true and unequivocal, the Hunter Biden laptop. And yet they shut down the New York Post for daring to report on stories that are unfavorable to Joe Biden before an election. This is a big deal.
Let me pull back the curtain a little bit. This is one of the most fun things about being on the bus tour with you and last night at dinner. And this is one of those questions that we probably would have been said to the table. And I'm going to ask it to you because I think this is one of those moments where if you were sitting with Elon Musk and he just fired these people, you've dealt with Twitter from the standpoint of being in Congress. You've seen how harmful the attacks on conservatives and silencing of viewpoints has been on the country. What advice would you give him? Would you say, hey, go into your company and let people know about algorithm changes and shadow banning and the policies that they had internally towards conservatives? Would you open the books in essence and say, show everybody what you just inherited so they know how bad it was?
Absolutely. I think that's one of the most important things he can do is institute transparency. And so I've been hammering big tech for years, trying to get them to answer simple questions, like questions I've asked Twitter, I've asked Facebook, I've asked Google, I've asked YouTube. In the 2016 elections, how many posts from Republican candidates for office did you suppress or throttle? How many posts from Democrat candidates for office? In 2018, same questions. In 2020, same questions. In 2022, same questions. Consistently, big tech refuses to answer that question. They give answers that are essentially go jump in a lake. During the all 4 years of the Trump administration, I tried to get DOJ to use subpoenas to get answers to those questions. Unfortunately, the Department of Justice couldn't get that done. They were not able to execute it effectively. They should have. I think one of the first steps Elon should do is hire someone credible to engage in a careful audit and commit to make the results of that audit public. And it's not just blocking, because blocking is one thing, but shadow banning is even more insidious because it's invisible. So it's one thing, Ben, if you put out a post and they just say, okay, Ben, you're off Twitter. We've decided we don't like what Ben Ferguson says. You're silenced. That's a little cloddish and obvious. The second level that is more pernicious is if they just say, okay, Ben, your tweets, we're going to allow 1/1000th of your followers to see any given tweet. And you have no idea if that's the case. I have no idea if that's the case. I think answering those questions, providing thorough transparency, and look, a good place for Elon to start is I've submitted written questions. In fact, when Mark Zuckerberg testified before the Senate, I submitted, I think, 636 questions to Facebook for them to answer. Unfortunately, they had lawyers write answers that were just go jump in a lake. And we did not have the legal force of a subpoena to hold them to account for refusing to answer. Elon should answer those questions, and that will have an impact not just on Twitter, but it'll have an impact on Facebook, an impact on Google, an impact on YouTube. This is a big deal for the whole world of big tech, not just Twitter, because the more Elon provides transparency, the more pressure there will be on the other players to do the same.
I want to also be clear, because there's so many people that are going to misconstrue when we say we want there to be basically transparency. We're not asking for Elon or expecting for Elon Musk. I think you would agree with me to come in and all of a sudden silence liberals. We're just asking for genuine, authentic free speech to happen for everyone.
Absolutely, yes. You know, a couple of years ago, I met with the CEO of YouTube, who came by my office. And at the time, YouTube was engaged in battle with Steven Crowder, a friend of yours, friend of mine, who has a great show. I've been on his show a bunch of times. And Crowder was having a battle with a left-wing journalist, and they were, look, Crowder's a comedian, so he was tossing some crass insults at the journalist, and the journalist was insulting him back, and they were having a Twitter fight. Twitter made a determination to, quote, demonetize Steven Crowder. I'm sorry, not Twitter, YouTube.
YouTube.
And the YouTube CEO was in my office, and she explained to me, she said, well, we determined that Crowder did not do anything that violated our policies. Okay, that's a big deal. Okay, no violation of policies, whatever those policies are and however arbitrary they are. But she said, we decided to demonetize him anyway. But she said, look, you should be really happy because we didn't block him altogether. We allow him to put up his show. He's just not allowed to earn any revenue on it. And I just started laughing at her as she sat on the couch in my office. I said, number one, you know, talk about an Orwellian word. We just demonetized him. I said, how would YouTube like it if someone just demonetized you? You just can't earn any revenue. That's just a simple thing. It's not like you actually need to earn revenue to have a business and run a business and pay employees. I mean, we're just magically disappear your money. And I said, let me be clear about something. And she said, look, people on the left were pushing us to block him altogether. And aren't you proud of us? We said no. And I said, listen, the pressure to silence is only coming from one direction. It's the Bernie Sanders. It's the Joe Bidens. It's the AOCs that are saying silence conservatives because we don't want anyone to hear what they say. I said, I'm not asking you to silence them. In fact, to be honest, I want as many people as possible to hear what they're saying because I think it makes no sense. I think it's idiotic, and the more people hear what they're saying, particularly if they can hear substance and facts in response, the more people will realize this. When it comes to censorship, it is a one-way ratchet. So absolutely, I do not want, and I don't believe Elon will, censor voices on the left. I think the marketplace of ideas is how we should resolve who's right and who's wrong.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting, as you said, to see what happens with Twitter, how much they expose how business practices were really being done behind closed doors. And then that will clearly show us, I think, a lot about these other companies and how they were doing the exact same thing.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everyone. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
I want to move to another issue that I think now is a very important one, Senator. Your number, I want everybody to know, what do you see with the Senate right now, especially after the Fetterman debate with Dr. Oz? And you just left Georgia, and you did a rally in Georgia for Herschel Walker there. What do you think the Senate could look like if Republicans show up on Election Day?
Well, I think the delta, the range for the Senate, is anywhere between, in a horrible cataclysmic outcome, we could see as few as 48 Republicans. in an incredible outcome, we could see as many as maybe 56 or 57 Republicans. And personally, what I believe is likely is 53 or 54. I think that is the most likely outcome. I think the last 48 hours, those numbers have gone up. Number one, the Fetterman debate was the biggest train wreck of a debate perhaps ever. All of us suspected that Fetterman still had significant, meaningful impairment. I don't think anyone was prepared for the level of impairment he demonstrated. Watching that was affirmatively painful. I got to say, I've seen a lot of political debates. I've never seen anyone start a debate by saying, good night. Like, that just is random. The answer Fetterman gave on fracking was, you watch it and you actually want to like take him to a hospital bed and just have him lie down. And I think that debate significantly changed the calculus in that race and made it much more likely that Dr. Oz wins in November. Across the country today, I spent all day campaigning in Georgia with Herschel Walker. We did rallies all over the state, huge rallies, packed rallies. The energy is fantastic. Walker, I think, is surging. I think Herschel is likely to win that race. And I think across the country, the majority, the momentum is with us. And so all of these races are getting more favorable for Republicans. And if that continues, our likely outcome is looking better and better. But that only happens if we make sure we show up. And one of the things that's encouraging, early vote numbers right now, we're seeing Republicans show up in significant numbers. We're seeing that in Georgia. We're seeing that in Texas. We're seeing that elsewhere. That's a good sign. Democrats are demoralized, dispirited. You know, their guys have mucked it all up, and so they're not excited about coming to vote. And Republicans are really pissed and are showing up to vote. We need to make sure we keep doing that. And if that happens, I think we will end up with a significant majority in both houses.
You know, I think Fetterman in that debate the other night is going to actually have an impact, possibly nationwide in other races. And the reason why I say that is I think there's so many people that witness that, and they sit there and they go, if the Democratic Party will do this to a guy like Fetterman and just kind of prop him up because they're so desperate to keep a seat instead of actually take care of someone and say, look, you need medical attention. You need, you know, there's so many things you can do with rehab and help for you to have a better, you know, life than what it is right now that we're witnessing on TV. I think there's a lot of people that think, wow, this party in essence is soulless. They will prop up anybody. Forget Joe Biden walking around, can't get off a stage. It's almost a form of abuse what they're doing to Fetterman and his campaign. I cannot believe that somebody that doesn't step in on his behalf, that cares about him, say, hey, stop taking advantage of him just so you guys can win a seat.
Well, and as you noted, the connection with Joe Biden is significant because it's reinforcing a message. People are seeing Joe Biden every day with serious diminished mental capacity. And they know that the Democrats are willing to lie about it. And they know that the media is willing to lie about it. And with Fetterman, you remember he did an interview with an NBC host who was a junior reporter. And she commented afterwards how he really had trouble understanding their conversation. And the big established names in mainstream journalism lost their mind and were denouncing this young reporter for daring to report the actual facts of what she saw, that he had trouble understanding her questions and he had trouble articulating an answer. Well, everyone who watched the debate, millions, tens of millions of people saw that in the debate. And I think there's a really powerful realization some people are having that, wait a second, all of these media folks who told me he's just fine, they were lying to me. And every day, the media does more to damage their credibility, because when you are a liar day in and day out, and the lies always benefit the party you want to win, at some point, even people not paying that close of attention start to notice the pattern.
Well, and now you see the same media that was saying he's fine, now attacking conservatives, the GOP, Joe Behar on The View said this today about basically how dare you bring up his impairment. Listen.
Ads about showing Fetterman stumbling on things because of the stroke. Mm-hmm. What kind of a doctor is behind that? Aren't you supposed to do no harm? It's so unempathetic to the guy, you know? And I just want to say that Oz is very slick. He's a TV guy. Yeah. Remember that. There's another woman in Arizona, Carrie Lake, also a TV woman. Mm-hmm. So they're very slick, you know, and Fetterman's kind of like, you know, with the stroke and without the stroke, he's not as slick, but he has ideas and he has governed.
I've never heard a worse sales pitch, Senator, from somebody. I mean, not only is she criticizing people that do TV while she's on TV doing what she does on TV, but she's literally saying that you're unpatriotic and you're unempathetic if you question a man's cognitive ability to do a job, which is a very serious job, that is more than just pushing yes and no in the Senate. You know how complicated this job is.
Well, it's not complicated what she's doing. She is engaging as a partisan hack. She wants the Democrat to win no matter what. And so it's funny watching their talking points shift, because their talking points have now moved to saying, well, you're not allowed to point out that he is seriously cognitively disabled, that it's discrimination to say he's not able to do his job. You know, Fetterman's wife is out there attacking, you know, anyone who says this as this is ableism. Well, I would like our elected officials to be able, like there are, it is actually a job requirement to be able to understand the issues before you, to hear evidence, to hear testimony, to read complicated bills, to assess public policy, to assess national security, to assess classified intel, to meet with constituents, to understand their concerns, to advocate on their behalf. And if you can't engage in a simple conversation and know what the hell is going on, you are not able to do the job. It's a little bit like saying someone who's paralyzed from the neck down, it's discrimination to say that that they're not going to play them in the NBA. Look, I'm sorry if someone has limitations, but it is eminently relevant to the job. And I'll say two other things. You and I talked about before how I said that I thought it was a mistake for the Oz campaign to focus as much as they did on Fetterman's serious mental impairment. And the reason I thought it was a mistake is it was potentially curable. In the debate, if he stood up and said three coherent sentences, it suddenly makes one of the major attacks disappear. And to some extent, that happened with Trump and Biden, where in the 2020 campaign, the Trump campaign made such an issue of Biden's diminished mental state that we got to the debates and Biden did put out three coherent sentences. And a lot of people said, oh, OK, he's fine. So I thought it was a strategic error to focus on that. That being said, I had no idea that putting out three coherent sentences was beyond something he was capable of doing. And, you know, it's an interesting conversation, the dinner we referenced that we had with some great minds and a number of senior members of my political team. One of them made the following point, said, political consultants rarely win a campaign. The candidate has to win a campaign. But a political consultant can lose a campaign, and there is a very good possibility that Fetterman's consultant, whoever's running the campaign, lost that campaign by allowing him to appear in that debate. It's remarkable. Presumably, the campaign knows. They know he has this impairment, that he's not able to get out three coherent sentences. They put him up there anyway, and I think that was a stunning mistake. I'm surprised they didn't announce the morning of the debate, oh, sorry, Fetterman has COVID. He's going to be conveniently quarantined for the next 2 weeks, but you can see him the day after Election Day. And we've talked previously on the pod about the Democrats' strategy of ducking debates. I think Fetterman's disastrous performance in this debate will accelerate in the next cycle. Democrat candidates saying, I'm not going to debate because there's risk that it could be bad. And if I don't do any debates, the media will protect me and they'll be my messenger.
Senator, I think this is exactly why there's so many voters out there right now that are looking at these midterms as an issue of just flat out trust. They don't trust the media. They don't trust the Democrats. They look at you in the face and tell you that the economy is in great shape when it's not. There's a montage of just some of the top lies that we've heard from this administration. And I want people to understand that if you go out there and you talk to your family and you talk to your friends, remind them that this Biden administration has been lying to you since day one. And these are just a few of the highlights of this administration.
You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
Vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick.
Getting those shots out for 5 to 11-year-olds is going to provide a lot of comfort to American families.
Horses barely running them over, people being strapped.
A horrific video of the CBP officers on horses using brutal and inappropriate measures against innocent people.
We have a secure border.
The border is, in fact, secure.
The border is closed. The border is secure.
The border is secure. The border is closed. We've been unequivocal in that.
On the issue of Afghanistan, and to that end, we have seen a successful drawdown of the embassy.
I think it's irresponsible to say Americans are stranded. They are not.
This is Jim Crow on steroids, what they're doing in Georgia. This is all about keeping working folks and ordinary folks that I grew up with from being able to vote.
The reconciliation package would cost $0.
The cost of these bills in terms of adding to the deficit is zero.
Some have expressed publicly that they're not comfortable with 3.5, even though zero costs $0.
Zero. Zero. Zero.
This bill is fully paid for and will not raise taxes on anyone making less than $400,000 a year.
Let me say that again. Be crystal clear. No one making less than $400,000 a year will pay a single additional penny in tax for all these things that were in the Build Back Better plan.
If you listen to these, and the scary part is, Senator, we have another 2 minutes of these lies that we put together. But those are just some of the big ones. This election, I truly think, comes down to the issue of who do you trust more to not lie to you? Who do you trust more to tell you the truth? You listen to those lies. We have a secure border. You know that's a lie. You've been talking about forever that this bill that, you know, and we didn't even get to the bill of the right. The we're going to make sure the economy is all great. Right. We're going to make sure that there's no more inflation bill that they just passed. And guess what? It had nothing to do with that. It had to do with all these green alternative energy ideas. These are the lies they tell you. And I think people are actually at the point now where they say enough.
Yeah, look, it has been so brazen, and there are more that could be included, including one of the most astonishing. They're like, it was Republicans that wanted to shut down schools, and it was Democrats that wanted to open up schools, which is like, at some level, you have to sit back and be like, all right, holy crap, that's some chutzpah. Like it just, you know, it's like Stranger Things going into the Upside Down. I mean, they... You know, Karine Jean-Pierre standing at the White House press podium and saying, people are not just walking across the border. It's not happening. There is a level. You know, you actually have to ask, why is it that this administration feels so comfortable lying on a daily basis on things that are obviously lies, that are laughably, demonstrably lies? And it is directly connected to the corruption of the media. The two are intertwined. My new book this week, Justice Corrupted, How the Left Has Weaponized the Legal System. A lot of what it talks about, why was Obama and now Biden able to turn the Department of Justice and the FBI and the IRS and the CIA and the federal government into a weapon to target their political enemies? One of the big reasons is because they count on the corporate media to be their Praetorian guard, to not question them, to not report on it, to not acknowledge that it exists, to do what Newsweek did with their idiotic fact check on Antifa, to do what CNN and MSNBC do every day, which is ignore the lies, and even worse, sometimes report the lies as truth and be active participants in lying. And the more that happens, the more people realize, okay, I get the game. You know, when Donald Trump first started referring to fake news, to a lot of people it was jarring. What's interesting is it's not jarring anymore. That it has been so conclusively demonstrated that I think millions of people are realizing these people are liars and they're in the business of aiding and abetting liars who are lying to us. And that means you got to find alternative ways to find the truth. And that's one of the values of something like this podcast.
It is. Senator, I appreciate you getting on the tour, you fighting for so many conservatives. You're out there. If people want to see where you're going to be, where you're going next, tcbustour.com, tcbustour.com. You can come. So many listeners, by the way, of this podcast have shown up on the road, and I know that's meant the world to you. So to all of you that have showed up, thank you. Thank you for listening and supporting the senator and all the candidates that he is supporting. Stay in the game. Make sure you keep talking to your family and your friends. Where are you guys going next on the tour?
Well, we're in Orlando right now. We've got a rally tomorrow in Orlando with two congressional candidates, Corey Mills and Scotty Moore. And then we're headed to Michigan. We're headed to Utah. We're headed to Texas for the big blowout rally at the end of the bus tour. And I got to say, we're seeing packed houses. You know, you were with us in Franklin, Tennessee last night. We had 1,400 people come out in a rally for Andy Ogles, who is a conservative running, is going to be elected, I believe, to the House and be a strong conservative leader. We're seeing that kind of enthusiasm. The rallies today for Herschel Walker, huge crowds, and there's an energy and enthusiasm that I think is just growing every day.
It is, no doubt about it. Grab the new book, Justice Corrupted, How the Left Weaponized Our Legal System. Don't forget, we're doing this podcast 3 days a week now, so hit that subscribe, auto download button, and write a 5-star review for the podcast. It helps us reach so many more people on the charts. Senator, be safe on the road. I'll see you in a few days, and then we'll see the audience back here in a couple days as well.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Ben Ferguson here, and if you're an accredited investor, U.S. oil and gas should be a part of your investment portfolio. And I want you to visit LabradorEnergy.com. Beyond the possibility to invest in a sector that historically delivers sound returns, when you invest with Labrador Energy, you may be able to structure your investments to offset active or passive income. According to many sources, U.S. oil and gas drilling remains one of the best tax-advantaged income investments available. Visit LabradorEnergy.com. You may be able to reduce your tax liability while investing in a sector that historically delivers sound returns. Learn more now at LabradorEnergy.com today.
Offer for accredited investors only. Past performance is no indication of future results. Investing involves risk. Consult your legal, tax, and financial advisors and read the prospectus before making any investment decisions. Visit LabradorEnergy.com for the prospectus and more information.